Hello, I'm Jeff Watts, and welcome to Optometric Quarterly 89. In this edition of OQ, we have interviews on fluorescein use in practice, preschool eye health assessment, and an update on global blindness. In the quarterly review, Jeff Robison has, among other topics, chosen to discuss papers on the late presentation of advanced glaucoma, the relationship between visual acuity and cognitive function in dementia sufferers, and a possible link between meibomian gland dysfunction and hypercholesterolemia. To access current and past editions of Optometric Quarterly, visit the Docket website at www.docket.info on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also download OQ as a podcast from the iTunes Store, or direct to your iPhone or iPad using the free Docket OQ app from the App Store. As ever, we welcome your feedback on the program. You can let us know your thoughts by completing our survey using the OQ app or website, or emailing inquiries at docket.info. Our first item is on fluorescein use in practice. Fluorescein dye, an established aid routinely used by eye care practitioners, has recently become subject to controversy. Confusion over its classification and the withdrawal of fluorescein-impregnated strips, fluorettes, from the market have led to concerns over legality and appropriate use. In light of this, the Optical Confederation Clinical Consensus Panel, and more recently the MHRA, have provided clarification. Here, two members of the Clinical Consensus Panel, Professor Steve Taylor, a fellow of the College of Optometrists and professional advisor to FODO, and Mark Nevin, Director of Policy and Strategy at FODO, the FMO, and the ACLM, discuss the issue further.
So, Mark, perhaps I should begin with a short summary of what fluorescein is and its uses. Fluorescein is a synthetic organic fluorescent material that was first produced in 1871. It's poorly soluble in water and alcohol, and therefore commonly used as its sodium salt. Fluorescein is able to absorb photons of light in the blue spectrum between 465 and 490 nanometers, and it emits photons in the 520 to 530 nanometer green part of the spectrum. The emitted colour is pH dependent, and it's brighter the more alkaline the solution, and conversion of photons is almost 100%. The value of fluorescein in eye care was recognised at a very early stage, and there are reports of it being used in ophthalmology in the detection of corneal ulcers and abrasions as far back as 1882. There are reports then of it being used in contact lens fitting from 1920, where the tear space with a haptic lens fit was viewed. But the use in contact lens fitting accelerated markedly with the introduction of corneal lenses and also the development of the fluorescein strip in the 1950s. Currently, optometrists use topical fluorescein routinely, including, for example, to assess the tear layer, corneal integrity, potential trauma, and also for contact lens fitting, contact tonometry, and the assessment of tear duct patency. Dispensing contact lens opticians use it routinely in the assessment of contact lens fits. In ophthalmology, fluorescein is used differently. It's used more widely in intravenous form to diagnose and identify the site of vessel leakage in the fundus, for example. There's very little evidence of serious adverse reaction to the use of topical fluorescein, as we do in practice, but the risk does appear greater when fluorescein is used intravenously. So, looking at the low-risk position for optometry and for topical use, can you outline perhaps what the original classification for use and supply in the UK was and what it meant?
Okay, the classification of any medicine or any medical device is determined by EU law. There are two pieces of EU legislation. One is the Medical Device Directive, another the Medicines Directive, and both set out an outline and define what is a medicine and what is a medical device depending on their specific use and consequences, and also look at the type of evidence that should be reviewed by the competent authorities when they're making their judgment. Historically in the UK, we did have a medicine grade fluorescein strip, which is called fluorettes. However, the manufacturer of that product ceased production, and then we've been left since without any medicine grade strip in the UK or elsewhere globally.
And can you outline the process for how these classifications are decided upon in the UK?
There's a competent authority, which is the Medicines Healthcare Regulatory Agency, or MHRA, as is also known. The process whereby a manufacturer or a supplier needs to apply for a license with MHRA prior to placing their medicine or medical device onto the market. When they apply for a license with MHRA, MHRA must analyse its specific use, its risk factors, the evidence from clinical studies, etc., which have been submitted by the manufacturer, and then use all of that information to determine its precise classification, and then use that as the basis for granting a license to that medicine or medical device.
Okay, so now having an understanding of the legal position for fluorescein, if I can just briefly talk about the different types of preparations that are available. For optometrists, fluorescein is normally used as a fluorescein strip, as we've said, or it can be used as 1% or 2% unit drop preparations, normally minims, both of which are available routinely before the transitional arrangements. Of fluorettes, which left no available strips classified as a medicine, once Bausch & Lomb withdrew those. The strips used more frequently than unit drop preparation for a number of sound, practical and clinical reasons, and these include it's easier to store, has a longer shelf life, the volume instilled is easier to control on a strip than it is through a minim, and that's an important consideration in preventing unwanted fluorescence or in quenching in which fluorescein activity is reduced. It's also less likely to produce an adverse reaction if using a strip because you use a lower dosage. There's less potential for contamination with a strip because there's no incentive to reuse. And it's also best practice clinically to instill the lowest dose of any preparation to achieve a desired effect. Unit dose preparations do play an important part in eye care for optometrists, but the strips still have the most significant usage. Let's move on, if we can, to the consensus panel. What were the reasons for bringing the panel together?
As you've outlined, fluorescein strips are routinely used in optometric and optical practice, often on a daily basis by clinicians to assess their patients. Bausch & Lomb made a decision to withdraw fluorettes from the market, which led to some uncertainty because we didn't have a substitute medicine-grade strip which was available for practitioners in the UK. What we did have available were CE mark strips, which were used elsewhere in Europe. However, we faced uncertainty as to whether they could be used or not by practitioners in the UK. We also wanted to look at clinically, what is the best thing to do? So we brought together a consensus panel of academics and clinicians with a specific background in contact lens fitting or in the theory of contact lenses to look at the issue and to determine clinically what is the best thing for both optometrists and contact lens opticians to do when assessing their patients. We also wanted to provide some further information regarding the determination of the classification of fluorescein strips at the European level. In a nutshell, we wanted to have a sound clinical consensus regarding the use of a CE-marked fluorescein strip in primary care and to give optometrists and contact lens opticians clarity regarding its use.
So with the consensus panel, what were the outcomes? What were the conclusions they came to?
Okay, the full report is available online for any of our listeners to review. In terms of the conclusions, the panel found that the risk posed to patients by not using staining agents when clinically indicated is significant, and eye care practitioners should continue to use fluorescein for relevant clinical investigations in primary care. The panel felt that it was unacceptable to avoid using fluorescein, which would delay a detection of clinical problems that might result in loss of sight. Based on the current available evidence, the panel concluded that it would be appropriate and in certain clinical situations more suitable to use CE-marked fluorescein strips as an alternative to the currently available unit dose eye drops. The panel agreed our clinical consensus statement based on the perceived advantages of using fluorescein impregnated strips rather than unit dose eye drops. The panel strongly agreed that given the existing circumstances, optometrists and contact lens opticians should only use CE-marked medical device fluorescein strips that MHRA has permitted for supply to the UK.
And I understand that they actually issued a final statement on the use of fluorescein. Is it possible just to give an indication of what that was?
Of course. The view of the clinical consensus panel, which was based on all of the evidence available at the time and on practice and clinical opinion, was that optometrists and contact lens opticians in the UK may, within the scope of their practice, use a CE-marked medical device fluorescein strip permitted to be supplied in the UK by MHRA and to use that as an alternative to a fluorescein sodium unit dose eye drop formulation for clinical investigations in primary care and to do so until further notice.
And I understand subsequent to that meeting that the MHRA has issued a statement on fluorescein. How does that move us forward?
So MHRA issued a very helpful clarifying statement on the 30th December 2013, where MHRA outlined that although they consider fluorescein strips intended for diagnostic purposes to be a medicinal product because they're used in vitro diagnostic agents, they would permit the supply of medical device fluorescein strips to the UK market, provided that the supplier only markets those for the fitting of contact lenses. The regulatory classification of this category of products is going to be considered again at the European level. However, MHRA's position was outlined in order to avoid a shortage of supply, which would have prevented optometrists and contact lens opticians from carrying out their daily activities when they assess patients. So the MHRA also set out the key aspect that there are no restrictions on the sale or supply of medical devices, so practitioners can use a product which has been CE marked as a medical device in another European country.
Briefly, how does the UK legislative framework compare to mainland Europe then regarding fluorescein?
So in the UK, fluorescein strips have historically been determined as a medicine. Across Europe, the framework varies quite considerably between different countries. All European competent authorities will base their decisions on the pan-European legislation, which is the Medicines Directive and the Medical Device Directive. Across Europe, the scope of practice of different eye care practitioners varies quite considerably between different countries, as does the interpretation of whether fluorescein strip is a medicine or is a medical device. Specifically, it depends on the type and nature of the use of that product by a practitioner in that country. So the interpretation of whether something is a medicine or a medical device can vary across member states to match the type of use of that product in that country and also the clinical functions that are performed by any one healthcare practitioner. In the UK, we have contact lens opticians and optometrists who both use fluorescein but use it to different extents depending on their scope of practice. Now, Europe is looking again at the classification of fluorescein strips with a view to try and getting a greater degree of consistency in its interpretation across the member states.
Could you explain what were the original concerns about using, in the UK, CE-marked equivalent alternatives but without a classification?
We looked at this point specifically in the clinical consensus panel, and we set out that fluorescein strips have been used for many years in optometric and optical practice in the UK without any complications. The panel took some reassurance from the fact that CE-marked alternative strips have historically been used elsewhere in Europe and in North America over many years without any adverse incidents or without any clinical complications. So as a panel, we took great reassurance from the fact that these strips have been used over many years. Fluorescein is a very low-risk device, and it's being used by healthcare practitioners in the community who are experienced with its use. So we didn't foresee any major complications and had very little concern over their use in the UK.
Looking at the ongoing discussions in Europe, what do you anticipate they hope to achieve?
At the European level, they're looking again at the classification of fluorescein alongside some other cellular visualization preparations with a view to determining whether they should be determined to be a medicine or whether they should be determined to be a medical device. A complicating factor within this is that the term diagnosis. Diagnosis features both in the definitions of a medicine and as a medical device. However, the word diagnosis itself remains an undefined term. Europe has brought together a group of the experts in the determination of whether something is a medicine or whether it's a medical device to have another look at what diagnosis means within this context. Now, in terms of a timescale, the European Working Group will meet in March, and we hope to have further clarity regarding the classification of fluorescein strips following that meeting.
To conclude, what is the impact, do you think, on everyday use in optometric practice of this process and the consensus panel and the MHRA views?
Well, our goal throughout was that fluorescein strips would remain available to practitioners in the UK so that they could assess patients appropriately that attend for an eye check. The CE-marked strips, we have determined, can be used in optical practice in the UK. We have set out through the clinical consensus panel that practitioners should use those strips. In due course, we will reevaluate our guidance depending on the outcome of the discussions in Europe and also in the light of any new information that comes to light. If practitioners have any questions about the use of fluorescein, they're advised to contact their professional representative bodies for further guidance and information.
And is it fair to say that the panel conclusion was that it was better to use some form of fluorescein preparation that had not been shown to have any adverse reaction than to use no staining at all in case the risk of missing something was increased.
Absolutely. The key point here is the continuity of patient care, and so that clinicians are equipped to assess their patients that attend with potential clinical complications and to make a judgment as appropriate for that patient.
Thank you, Mark and Steve.